Go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. I can say with all honesty and without any exaggeration, I was not settled on what the Lord would have me to preach tonight until right now. After the afternoon break, we were still back in the motel room struggling and asking God to lead us and to settle us, and we came here tonight still unsettled, and now I have peace. And I hope you'll pray that God would give us freedom to preach the message and words that will not build us up, but will glorify Him and accomplish in our lives whatever is needed. Book of Proverbs, chapter 1. I just want to read verse number 7 tonight for our text and starting point. Proverbs 1 and verse number 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I want to preach by the grace of God on the fear of the Lord. You know, society has gotten the idea that God's just the big man upstairs and we're not supposed to fear Him. In fact, He's up there just desperate for anything we throw at Him. And in fact, He will do anything we tell Him to. The modern religious crowd preaches and teaches in such a way that we actually order God around. Command God to do this, command God to do that. Very little fear. In the world, there's very little fear in modern religious circles, but there's also very little fear in our Baptist churches. And in the ranks of Baptists, I think we have got it in our minds that we're not supposed to fear God. And folks, nowhere in the Bible are we told not to fear Him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. It is the basis. It is the foundation of all wisdom and knowledge. We're never going to know anything until we first get a healthy fear for our Lord. And as we fear Him, that will spring into depths of knowledge and understanding. Man has more information than he's ever had. But all it does is get us deeper and deeper in sin and wickedness and trouble. It's because there's no fear of God. We look at our Baptist churches and we say, how can they live like this? How can they go to these places? How can they dress the way they dress? How can they talk the way they talk? How can they just totally disregard the assembly of the church? How can they just lay out for months and months and months and then claim to be saved and claim to love the Lord? Because there's no fear of God. There's no fear of the Lord. How can preachers who say they're called of God get up and do and get up and preach some of the things they do and preach? Because they're not afraid of God. I think we need to be afraid of God, folks. We need to fear our Lord. And I don't trivialize the fear of God by saying what that really means is respect. Oh, we ought to respect God. We ought to fear God also. I remember a comedian years and years ago always using a line that his father used upon him. He said his father used to say to him, son, do what I tell you because I brought you into this world. I can take you out. Folks, I believe that about my dad. I don't remember him ever using those exact words, but I tell you what, I really believe. My God, my father brought me into this world and I was afraid to go where I wasn't supposed to go and do what I wasn't supposed to do. Because Dad took me to the... We didn't have a woodshed. He just did it right in the house. He knew how to get my attention. And I really did think that he could take me out. And by the grace of God, that kept me out of a lot of trouble. Folks, we need that fear towards God. Because he did bring us into this world, and he can take us out of this world. Folks, God is sovereign tonight. I believe that as well as anybody. But folks, there are lines, and there are sins unto death. And I think a lot of God's people are toying with those lines and toying with those sins because they don't think there's any consequence. Folks, I've seen too many people go through too many unexplained things, living in sin and rebellion, to say God does not judge his people and God is not to be feared. Folks, God is to be feared. The fear of the Lord is the beginning, we're told here, of knowledge. Do you know that Ecclesiastes chapter 12, turn over there if you would, tells us that fear is owed our Creator. Fear is owed to the Lord. Not just lost people, but God's people. All people owe God fear. Owe God respect. Owe God to be awe in of Him. Ecclesiastes 12, verse number 13, familiar passage. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. The conclusion of the whole matter is man ought to fear God. Man, woman, boys and girls ought to fear God. I don't care how young you are here today. If you don't have a fear for God, and if you don't have a fear for the consequences of sin and rebellion and disrespect for your parents, if you don't have a fear, you're living one of the most dangerous lives that can be lived. Young person, God can hold you accountable. He will hold you accountable. And it may be by your paying a price that you don't want to pay. God does have the power to cripple you. God does have the power to put you in the hospital. God does have the power to put you in the funeral home. God does have the power to take you and eliminate you from this life. Young person, you better fear the Lord. And all the things your parents say are not said just to spoil your fun and to dampen the spirit. All the things that the parents try to say to you and teach you, they say to you because they want you to fear the Lord. Do you fear the Lord, young person? If you're here today and you're a young person who professes faith in the Lord, you ought to fear Him. If your friends don't, you ought to. You know, I said to our young people not too long ago, you know what God expects of young people? Pretty much the same thing he expects of old people. Obedience. Keep the book. We don't have two sets of standards. Young people don't worship one way, old people worship another way. Young people don't worship in one place and old people another place. The church is all those who have professed faith in Christ, been scripturally baptized. If you're a young person, you ought to be just as faithful as any old person. God requires the same things. Maybe different capabilities, but same responsibility. Young person, you ought to fear God if you profess Him. I see a whole lot of young people who are good, fine Christian young people. Thank God for them. But it seems like I see a whole lot more who profess religion and have their name on a church roll somewhere who seemingly have no fear of God. No fear of the consequence. Just total disregard for the guidelines that God gives, the parents give them. Young person, you better fear God. But old person, we need to fear God also. There are consequences. And I don't want to mess with the God. I don't want to fall into the hands of a living, righteous God. I believe that verse is to Christians. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Bible tells us that men like Joseph feared God. Men like Job feared God. Men like Noah feared God. Men like Abraham feared God. Men like Nehemiah feared God. Every one of them feared God. Noah, moved with fear. He believed God, not only what God said, but he believed God meant what he said. And he moved with fear to build that ark. The great heroes of the faith had much more than just faith. They had a fear, an awesome respect for their God. They believed God meant what he said. And there was accountability to doing those things that God said they shouldn't. I thought of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, when I was preparing this message. And the Apostle Paul says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Paul was a man who feared God. What was one of Paul's secrets? We heard a message on Paul today. You could add to it, Paul persevered because he feared God. He wanted to be faithful to the one who had called him. Wanted to be all that God had called him to be. He knew the terror of the Lord. He knew he was going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We skip through life as though there's never going to be an accounting. But Randy Titus is one day going to stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. I'm going to look into the eyes and I'm going to look into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ and I'm going to give an account of everything I've ever done in my life. I'm going to give an account of all the time He's given me since salvation to the time that He takes me home. That's a fearful thing. I look at all the opportunities I've missed. I've been convicted so much during this conference. Uplifted, encouraged, but I've been convicted about things in my life that aren't what they ought to be, especially about the message on evangelism my own brother brought. You think, being my brother, he could have took it easy on me. But he preached a message that talked about our responsibility, and we miss so many opportunities to tell people about Jesus Christ. And we can't go back and re-meet those people. But we're going to meet the Lord one day, and we're going to look into His eyes, and I believe He's going to call us into question about those opportunities we lost. Why is it we don't witness? Because we fear people more than we fear God. We're afraid of being laughed at. We're afraid of being scoffed. We're afraid at losing a job or losing a promotion. We're afraid that they might call us names or snicker at us. Talk about us behind our backs. We fear people sometimes more than we fear our own God. I tell you where the fear needs to be. It needs to be towards God. God ought to be feared, especially by His people. Paul told us in Philippians 2:12 to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Fear of what? Fear of losing our salvation? That can't happen. But fear of our Lord and fear of consequence for not working it out. God puts it in us. We work it out, and to not work it out ought to cause us to fear and tremble before God. You ever feared and trembled before a boss because you didn't do what he asked you to do and you wonder what the consequences were going to be? Getting called on the carpet? When is the last time we feared and trembled in relation to our God? Well, I thank God for His love. I'm so thankful He loves me. Loved me with an everlasting love. But that's not to erase the fear, the reverence that I have for our God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. 2 Corinthians 7, 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I don't think we have a fear of God like we ought. You know, when people have a fear of God, you're not going to have to beg and plead with them to serve the Lord. You know, I gave up a long time ago trying to make people serve the Lord. I don't want them afraid of me. They need to be afraid of God. I'm not going to go and beg and plead with people to serve the Lord. Bible says, my sheep hear. I'm going to preach the truth. I'm going to try to, by the grace of God, feed the sheep and pray that God would bring them along. But if they don't fear God, folks, they're never going to do what they ought to. And I'm not going to stress myself and tie myself up in knots trying to scare people into serving God. It doesn't accomplish anything. They need to fear the Lord. We ought to have a fear of God. Very quickly, I have five thoughts I want to go through. Will not be exhausted by any means, so I'd encourage you, if you take notes, to write these things down and think about them when you leave this place. But you know, we talk a lot about loving God. You know, if we love God, that'll be evidenced in our lives. We talk about loving the Lord's church. Well, if we love the Lord's church, that's going to be evidenced in our lives. I mean, people who never set foot in church will tell you how much they love their church. But the proof is in the pudding. It's in the evidence. We talk about a lot of things, but it's our actions that really prove rather those things are true. And we talk about the fear of God. Many would give lip service to fearing Him. But like all things spiritual, real fear for God will be evidenced by some things. You won't just say you fear God. There'll be some evidences to fear of God in your life and in my life. I want to look at those evidences this evening. First of all, the fear of God is evidenced by holiness. You fear God, you're going to be a holy person. Do you know holiness is being scoffed at more and more in Christian circles? And you can find many, many Baptist churches that scoff at the idea of holiness. Some things that I believe and some things that I hold very dear and some things that I believe are taught in the Bible, I would not be allowed to preach in many churches with the name Baptist out front. We don't believe in that old-fashioned separation stuff. We don't believe in that old legalistic holiness stuff. Well, let me tell you, if you fear God, you're going to live a separated life. You're going to live a holy life. And it's when you don't fear God that you're going to look like the world and dress like the world and go where the world goes. Tell you what, when we fear God, it'll be evidenced by holiness. And you're not going to be holy because the preacher's watching you. You're going to be holy because God's watching you. And the Lord is watching you. And He's the one who died for you. Folks, I believe in holiness. I believe in separation. We've got a whole lot of Baptists, I believe, even running in our circles, who give lip service to holiness and separation, but don't practice it when they get back home. There's no fear of God. There's no fear of God in an unholy life. Look at Proverbs. Most of our time will be spent going through Proverbs here. Chapter 3. Verse 7, Proverbs 3 and verse number 7 says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." See, the fear of the Lord causes one to depart from evil. It causes one to want and causes one to desire to live a holy life. I have great trouble understanding why people want to talk about how much they love the Lord and how much they fear the Lord, all the while they're living an unholy life. Doesn't make sense. I tell you what, I fear the Lord. I love the Lord. I'm thankful to the Lord. There's a lot of things that motivate me to want to live a holy, separated life. But fear is part of the formula. He has called me to holiness. He has said to me, "Be holy, for I am holy." And there is a consequence for unholiness. Folks, life is a fragile thing. And I tell you what, living an unholy life and living outside the fear of God, I mean, I don't know how better way to put it, it's asking for trouble. It's asking for trouble. I think so many of the problems we have physically and spiritually is because we're not holy people. We're not vessels of honor. And we reap what we sow. And God does still chastise those He loves. The Bible says that pretty plainly. Those He loves, He chastens. We want the Lord to bless us and we want the Lord to fix everything that's wrong in our life, all the while living in our sin. Not giving up our filthy habits. Not being faithful to Him. Folks, we're our own worst enemy many times. God demands holiness. And those that fear the Lord will depart from evil. In Proverbs 8, verse number 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy in the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Look at chapter 16 and verse 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. I think we're raising children who are too comfortable with God. Too comfortable with the Lord. I grew up with a very rigid set of rules. And I was afraid to go outside of those rules. But I was raised in the Lord's church. And I was raised not only with the fear of what Dad might do, but I was afraid of what God might do. I mean, I was exposed to drugs, but I was afraid. I was afraid to mess with those things. I was afraid of what God's judgment upon me might be. I can remember working at Jack in the Box restaurant, and a friend of mine that was working there says, "I've got a joint. You want to go smoke it?" Well, that was the cool thing to do. You didn't say no. Afraid of that peer pressure. So we snuck out and went out to the dumpster behind Jack in the Box restaurant in Taylor, Michigan. And he lit that thing up and went to hand to me, and I looked around, and God just fell on me like a ton of bricks. He said, "Look where you are. Sneaking around, hiding out here in this dumpster, playing with something that might destroy your life." I got out of there as quick as I could. I was scared to death. I had so many friends who liked to drink. Everybody was drinking back then. But I was afraid. I was afraid to take that stuff in. I was afraid of what I might do and where I might go and what the consequences might be. I had a fear of God. Young person, I don't want to focus in on you only, but you need a fear of God. There's a consequence for negative behavior. And going outside the limits could cost you the rest of your life. Or make the rest of your life miserable. And all young person, if you're a member of Home Baptist Church or any Baptist church represented here, and you're living outside there stretching the boundaries, you're messing with something that you don't understand. Go to the hospitals. Go to the mental wards. Go to the nursing homes. And look at the consequence of going outside God's regulations. It's not a pretty picture. I can remember going to nursing homes and holding services. And one there in Covington, Ohio, I remember going, and there was a 26-year-old man. I was 26 when I went to West Milton. And there was a 26-year-old man, totally fry out of his brain, walking down, scooting down the hallway in his wheelchair, drooling all the time because of the consequences of sin. Oh, if you're outside there, young person, for your own sake, for the honor of the Lord, come back and talk to your mom and dad about that. Tell them you're sorry and ask them to help you. And go to your pastor. Go to your church. Young person, you can't live like you want to. Saved or lost, but if you're a member of a Baptist church, same is required of you of anybody. You ought to have a fear of God. Godly fear produces holiness. I wanted to preach on the marks of the Lord. Brother Adams stomped all over most of that, so I went home and or back to the motel and prayed. But you know, the Apostle Paul, he read that passage of Scripture about all the beatings that Paul took. You know what Paul said? I bear in my body the marks of the Lord. He was a freeborn Roman citizen of great education level, and he had the marks of a slave. His body had the stripes, the physical wounds of beatings. What is it? Five times he received 39 stripes. Three times, I think he said, he was beaten with rods. He was stoned. When you saw the Apostle Paul, you didn't see a good-looking figure of a preacher in a two-piece suit or a three-piece suit. That boy just looked perfect. You saw a man who had gone to bat for Jesus Christ and had been beaten for Jesus Christ. And I thought, you know, we're not called upon to have many scars physically. But folks, holiness and separation are also marks of the Lord. And we've got too many Baptists who want to be a Baptist and want to have their name on a Baptist church roll, who don't want to toe the line and don't want to step up to bat for Jesus Christ and bear the marks. Let's not get too sentimental and talk about how much we appreciate the Apostle Paul if we're not willing to live as Paul lived. Holiness and separation are the marks. Paul said, all that live godly shall suffer persecution. You say, well, I just can't dress the way the preacher says I ought to. Well, you don't fear the Lord like you ought to, first of all. Second of all, you're not willing to bear the marks of the Lord. Think of the marks the Lord bore for you. Think of those wounds. Think of that piercing. Think of the fists that beat our Lord. Think of how his visage was marred beyond recognition. Think about all that he was willing to bear for you and I, and then come and tell me, I can't dress this way, and I can't act this way, and I can't give up this, and I can't give up that. We ought to be ashamed to call ourselves a Christian and not take the marks of holiness and separation. It's hard. It's hard. Last week, I think it was, my 10-year-old daughter came home and shared with us the terrible day she had. She said, the boy wanted to know why I don't ever wear pants to school. 10 years old, already started. And we tried to explain to her, that's what we as Christians believe and do. And that's the way the world is. And you know, it's not going to improve. All of my children have had to deal with that. Crystal was asked right in class in high school, in front of her whole class, why don't you wear pants? And she had to stand up and give an answer. She had to respond to that right there in front of all her classmates. That's hard. But folks, those are some of the marks. They are. Godliness and separation are the marks we're called upon. None of us have ever been beaten for Jesus Christ. And you know what? We're not willing to take the marks of holiness and separation. I tell you what, we'll never be willing to take the beatings. I don't like pain. I'm a sissy when it comes to pain. Medicate me. Give me something. I don't like pain. But I tell you what, if we're not willing to stand up and toe the line and fear God and live holy separated lives and look different and act different and be totally different from the world, folks, when persecution really arises, we're going to fail our Lord miserably. We're already failing Him to be blunt and to the point. And people expect the preacher's kids to be that way. God expects it of every one of His children. Second of all, fear is evidenced by obedience. Let's go back to the book of Psalms 119. Fear is evidenced by holiness. It's also evidenced by obedience. Psalms 119. Begin reading 113. Psalms 119, verse 113. I hate vain thoughts, but Thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in Thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers. I will keep the commandments of my God. We need that determination. I will be obedient. As has already been preached. Brother Adams preached, we need to be like the Apostle Paul and say, I will stand for my Lord. I will persevere. I will hang in there for the Lord. The psalmist is saying those things. I will keep the commandments of God. Fear will bring obedience. Fear of God will bring obedience to God. The Bible has a lot of things to tell us what God expects of us. Fear will bring obedience to those things. We run across so many in the ministry who say, I know what I ought to do, but I know what I ought to do, but my husband. I know what I ought to, but my children. I know I ought to, but this, I know I ought to, but that. You know what the problem is? They don't have any fear for God. Because when you fear God, all the buts disappear, and you obey Him. You obey God when you have a healthy fear for God. Uphold me according unto Thy word, that I may live. Let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold Thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto Thy statutes continually. Look at verse 18. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from the statutes. Sounds like fear, doesn't it? God has trodden down the disobedient. There is a consequence to disobedience. And the psalmist is saying, consequently, I want to be obedient. I don't want to be trodden down. I want to be the conqueror, the victorious one. Verse 119, Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. That'll cause you to fear. God destroys the wicked. God punishes the sinful. My flesh trembleth for fear of Thee, and I am afraid of Thy judgments. Verse 128, Therefore I esteem all Thy precepts concerning all things to be right. And I hate every false way. If you're here and you know God is dealing with you and you know God is speaking with you, you're not a member of Home Baptist Church and you know the Lord is dealing with you, you know you're saved, but you've never been scripturally baptized, but you know you ought to. You know you're not a member of one of the Lord's churches, but you know you ought to. I pray God will give you a good dose of fear. Dealing with a situation where a woman has told me she wants to be a member of our church. She understands that she needs to be baptized. She wants to do it so bad. But her husband has said to her, if you join that church, if you join any church, I'll leave you. What do you tell someone like that? She's been taught all of her life about submitting to her husband. And I tried to the best of my ability to say, the Bible teaches submission to your husband. Pray for him. Try to be patient. Try to explain to him what you feel and what you want. You think the Lord wants you to do. But I said, it just may come down to it to where you have to put obedience to God over obedience to any man. The apostle says we ought to obey God rather than man. And see, what I'm saying is the consequence, I don't want to be responsible for telling anybody, you know, do this irregardless. I want to explain to them, do it when you know the Lord wants you to do it, and then trust Him with the consequences. But I tell you what, sometimes the consequence of disobeying God will far outweigh the consequence of what someone might do to us. Because he may just be bluffing for one thing, but the consequence of him following through with that might be a whole lot worse than what God might do if she doesn't obey him. See, fear brings obedience. Third of all, amazingly, fear brings comfort. I had to stop and think about that for a while. Fear brings comfort. You know, talked a lot about my dad, and dad's a loving guy most of the time. But he was a disciplinarian. But you know, the same thing that caused fear in me to disobey my dad also gave me comfort to know that dad's sleeping downstairs. I'm safe. Dad watching over me. I'm safe. And when we understand how great our God is, and we have a healthy respect and a fear for Him, we fear who we ought to, that's going to remove so much of our other fears. You don't have to fear anything when the biggest kid on the block's on your side. You don't have to fear anything when your big brother's there. Unless he's a big brother like mine who told me to jump off roofs and... So I got to get even with him every opportunity I have. He tried to kill me. But the Lord is a brother who stands right there. Saying he's got to be afraid of me. He don't got to be afraid of you, Satan. He don't have to be afraid of the bully on the block. If we forget, he's on our side. We're on his side. Look at Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14, verse number 26. Says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. And the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. He's on our side. We ought to fear him. And if we fear him, we don't have to fear anyone else. It gives us that courage. Then look at Proverbs chapter 15. And fourth of all, fear is evidenced by contentment. I don't know, but seems to me we're living a very discontented time. And it seems like God's people are the most discontented. Seems to be very little contentment amongst God's people. There seems to be a restlessness amongst us Baptists and in our Baptist churches. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 16 says, "Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith." Look at chapter 19, verse 23. "The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil." Chapter 22, verse 4. "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life." Fear of the Lord produces a lot, doesn't it? We fear God like we ought to. It'll be evidenced by holiness. If you're not living holy, you're not afraid of God. So you might try holiness if you're afraid of the preacher, but it won't last. You might flirt with holiness if you're afraid of the church and its action, but it won't last. But if you're really fearful of the Lord like you ought to be, you'll live a holy life. That'll motivate you to holiness. It'll also motivate you to obedience. You'll want to do. If God has spoken to you in any regard tonight, you're going to want to do it. Baptism, God is speaking to you, calling you to His Son. Obey the call. If you're here and God's called you to preach, when you really fear Him and the consequences of disobedience, you'll do as we say, you'll submit to that call. Fear will bring obedience, whatever God's saying to you. Fear brings comfort. When you fear God like you ought to, you realize He's on your side. You don't have anybody else to fear. And because He loves us so much, fear is pretty much displaced by our love in return to Him. Fear is evidenced by contentment. We're not a contented people because we don't fear God like we ought to. When you fear God, you understand you have everything God wants you to have. Whatever state you're in, be content. And when you're right with God and you're serving God, you know it takes so much less to be happy. The farther you are away from the Lord, the more you're going to need, the more discontented you're going to be, because you're trying to fill a void that only the Lord, closeness to Him, can fill. And last of all, you know, fear is evidenced by a long life. You know, the Bible, you know, I know the Bible teaches sovereignty, and I know God is in control of all things, and yet my Bible also tells me there are some things that can lengthen our life. Obeying our parents. First commandment with promise. That your days may be long. I'll let the great theologians figure that out. I guess I'm just going to believe what the Bible says. God is sovereign, but honoring your parents brings long life. Fearing God brings long life. Do you know when you fear God like you ought to, you don't get into drunkenness and the abuse of alcohol. When you fear God like you ought to, you don't get into the other habits such as smoking and drug abuse and those other things that defile the temple of the Lord. When you fear the Lord like you ought to, you're not going to have a problem with sexually transmitted diseases, because you're going to keep the standards God sets. You know, God's people don't ever have to worry about getting some of the things the world gets. Because the fear of God preserves us. You know, the fear of God preserves us from things like AIDS. Fear of God preserves us from many things that shorten and in fact end life. "Well, I know a man who used to drink a quart a day and smoke two packs a day, and he lived to be 95. Well, there you got an exception to the rule. But he still was held accountable to God when he died at 90 plus years old. And think of how much more baggage he had to be accountable for. 90 plus years of sin. But the real rule is, God blesses obedience and God blesses our fearing Him with long life. Long life. Look at chapter 10. I'm going to close here. Proverbs. Proverbs 10, verse 27. "Fear the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Sounds like a promise, doesn't it? Sounds like something we can bank on, as they say. Fear of the Lord prolongeth days. Chapter 14, verse 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. We know more than we ever have known. Man just can't carry out his inventions fast enough. But do we really understand? Do we really know anything? Not if we don't fear God. Fear, real fear for God brings understanding and wisdom. How wise are we tonight? Are we living a life in the fear of God? Fear will produce holiness, obedience, comfort, contentment, long life. Just a good life. Think of all that you avoid just by obeying God. Think of the blessings that God has brought upon your life. Think of what God has done for your family. Think about what God has done for your children. Think about what God has done for your grandchildren. Think about all that God has done for you simply because you feared Him and put Him first. It works, folks. None of us deserve what we have. It's because of His goodness and it's because of His grace. But a whole lot of it's unaccountable that God keeps His promises. And everywhere God ever said if, when we do it, God keeps His end of the bargain. Amen. And if we'll fear Him and be all that He's called us to be and all that He'd have us to be, He'll bless us and He'll prosper us. And oh, He's been so good to us. God help us to remain in the fear of God. If God is speaking to any heart here, you ought to fear Him enough to step out and obey that. Whatever it is, do it. You'll never regret fearing God. You'll regret fearing this crowd. You'll regret fearing a preacher. You'll regret fearing a church. You'll never regret fearing God and fearing Him enough to act and do what He's called you to do. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding.